You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi there, good morning. It is currently 9:37 in the morning now on BFM 89.9. And of course, it is that time of the morning once again where we bring out the, wow, the whips and also the screams. Because it is now time to bring on the S&M show. Hi there, I'm David Chu with Julian Ng is here with us this morning. Hi, Julian.
Good morning.
And also, not forgetting somebody else as well who is in... Wah! The one and only Salvatore Dali, all the way in the Big Apple. How are you doing, man?
Good evening, mate. Oh. Live from New York. It's not the SNL.
It's the S&M,
not the S&M show.
So you're all the way in New York City.
I'm freezing cold out in the cold air. It's about 10 degrees. I just finished watching Jersey Boys. Couldn't make it back to the hotel room, so I'm talking as I'm walking back.
Wow. Somewhere, where exactly are you at right now?
I'm at...
should be Times Square, right?
East 42nd, I think, on the way down, yeah.
Yeah, as if we know where that is.
About 200 meters from Times Square.
You got a couple of topics that you're going to be talking with us, even though you're halfway around the world. Exactly 12 hours time difference, isn't it? And your first topic is about the fact that you know the next... Who's going to be the next two presidents for the US of A?
Yes, that was my secret mission.
Wow.
And I think from, you know, reading about what's in the media and, you know, watching all the news flow.
Yeah.
I think Hillary Clinton is preparing herself to be the next Democrat nominee after Obama in the next elections. And there was a new election of this very charismatic guy by the name of Cory Booker.
Are they there to get you?
You better be careful what you're saying.
They're coming
to Secret Service is after you.
Exactly. They're coming to arrest you, my friend. Okay.
Yeah, Cory Booker is so charismatic. I will rank him just after, you know, Clinton. And even more charismatic than Obama.
Really, yeah?
So I think he's smart, good-looking, and he's African-American. He's for the right causes. He says the right things. He's going to be the next one after Hillary Clinton.
If he runs, of course, that is.
Who doesn't want to run for president when you are, you know, in political office?
Well, it also depends on a lot of other factors, like who's supporting you and the kind of financing that you can raise. But of course, if you say that he's very charismatic, then that should not be a problem.
Yeah, you know that it's a 50-50 game, you know, 50% ability and 50% charisma.
That's so much. That's pretty true, actually. What about Hillary Clinton? I mean, you say she might be the next president of the United States, following her husband's footsteps.
If she runs, that's it. You know, I think that she was not that health wise, but she looks fine now.
Well, being Secretary of State for a couple of years, I mean, it did take a toll on her, and you could all see that as well. So, I mean, if she was unwell being the Secretary of State, wouldn't that take an even bigger toll if she became President?
I think there will be some political shuffling going on with regards to what she will be taking on and what she will not be taking on over the next 12 months.
That's true.
But I think a lot of it also has to do with the how they manage the debt situation in the United States right now. Of course, if this gets out of hand, then the Republicans have an opportunity to actually use this to stake their positions for the 2016 bid, because they believe that governments have to be small and that, you know, the huge debt level represents the kind of huge government positioning that the Democrats are after.
Yeah, that's correct. But also the political developments and the influence over the last 2 weeks basically have put the Republicans on the back foot again.
Yeah, I mean, they you know, kind of shot themselves in the foot, being viewed as holding the country ransom for the shutdown.
Yeah.
So how are things in New York? I mean, you see a lot of progressive things going on, and it's as though the shutdown never happened, and the debt ceiling was, you know, just another blip in the daily life of an American. Yeah.
No, nobody talks about it at all. You know, New York is such a wonderful city. I love New York because, you know, there's like very little racism in per se. Basically, that if you do your work, you know, uh-huh. you're out to make a living, make a life for yourself, you know, everybody treats you equally.
So it's true what they say, eh? If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere, right?
Maybe you're making it as a waiter, huh?
Okay, I tell you what, we've got so much more to talk about with Dali and all the rest. He's in New York, believe me or not. And we'll, when we come back on the S&M show, more with Salvatore Dali. Stay tuned.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 9:46 now on BFM 89.9. Yes, it is the S&M show. Today, of course... Dali is in New York at the moment, freezing his whatever off at 10 degrees
his head.
Celsius. 10 degrees Celsius, huh, my friend?
My teeth is chattering.
His teeth are chattering. Huh?
I have to take the future inside his little store.
Oh, okay. No problem.
All you should try going into a Starbucks or something. They have one every few steps, right?
Yeah, man. Ridiculous.
Okay, so on this freezing S&M show right now, let's continue on. You've got another topic, yeah? Eugene Farmer's efficient market hypothesis. You've got something to say about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about that last week, the fact that he won the Nobel Prize with Schiller basically validates the theory in the mindset of most of the establishment that you can't reasonably beat the market over the longer term, basically. That's the hypothesis. But the more I read about what the extent of his research, there were a lot of qualifications that he made to his efficient market hypothesis. He said that, really, this is, you can read more about what he said. He said that basically you can still beat the market,
okay,
but they are in very, very small groups, and you have to be in either looking at only small stocks or only at companies with supernormal margins sustained over a long period of time.
Mm.
So there are exceptions to the rule, I guess, but you know, but that basically was not reported in the media.
Well, you know, the fact that you could actually make a headline out of those two exceptions is already contributing to the efficiency of the market. You know, the moment you say that, right, and there are millions and millions of professional investment managers in this world, you know, they would have known that before you, and they would have gone out and buy those small caps or whatever it is that you're talking about.
I mean, if you talk about seriously the efficient market hypothesis, then basically anybody wanting or thinking or studying to be an analyst or fund manager can basically quit and just be a bricklayer.
Exactly.
No, it doesn't actually debunk the role of these analysts. It's just that I think their job is to really that the job and their profession of trying to predict the future really has got to be taken with a pinch of salt. But that does not necessarily mean that they have their role is no use, because analysis of companies,
but it's a very expensive bloody pinch of salt, isn't it?
No, but analysis of companies actually contribute to the efficiency of market. You know, we've come a long way from the 60s and 70s, where there were only few professionals in the industry. And if you look at the history of CFA itself, which is a Chartered Financial Analyst Association, in the 80s, you know, there were just a handful of them. You know, there were just one or two in Malaysia, and if you had the CFA suffix to your name, you could actually demand quite a high salary. But CFAs today are dime a dozen, and I think that that really proves that the industry has come a long way, and information is really ubiquitous.
Mm.
Jules, I've got a program you can do next week.
Which is?
You basically do a Jekyll and Hyde show. You're arguing against yourself. On one side, you have the pretending to be Mr. Farmer on efficient market hypothesis. On the other side, is you are Benjamin Graham with value investing. Okay.
And no, I think you have to.
Basically, you're saying that, you know, the value investing, forget about it, isn't it?
No, I think Benjamin Graham is not opposing the efficient market hypothesis. Benjamin Graham is just seeing the value in company analysis, in the sense that companies will proceed to grow with the economy, right? The economy grows at a certain rate, and if you think that you can beat that kind of growth, then you must have some special powers. But Benjamin Graham himself is a very long-term holder. He does not trade the market, and is a kind of passive behavior that I think pharma likes to recommend.
Anyway, it's nice that you took you from New York.
Same here. Likewise.
Okay, still on...
Hey, but anyway, actually, sorry. I just want to say something else. There was this article that was carried by the Institutional Investor on... Actually, the title is that beating the market has become nearly impossible, right? And you know, if you go to Institutional Investor, you can actually search.
Yeah, I just read that. I just read that this morning.
Institutional Investor is actually, what you say, representing the market for professionals, analysts, right, whose job you tried to... imply of the EMH that is no longer useful, but this is actually an institution representing them, and you know, they kind of carry this article to acknowledge that it's kind of difficult already to beat the market, and they provided a chart saying that the standard deviation, which is really the how the risk, the volatility of investment managers beating the market, has come down over the years, you know, has actually reduced. So I think there is very strong research apart from pharma showing that the market is actually quite efficient.
Yep. I think the same article says that the 97% of all established fund managers cannot beat the index.
Yes.
Yeah.
97%.
That's wonderful.
That is some statistic, isn't it? Makes you look at your own reminders and all that in a different light.
No. Makes us look at ourselves and say, hey, not so bad. I lost a little bit.
That's one way to look at it.
Okay, next topic we've got that you chose, internet distributors and providers. What are you talking about?
Well, the first few days, just looking at the bigger companies in the U.S., and I was reading this Fortune article, which looks at basically, now you look at the top 50 large caps in the U.S., they are largely either pure internet plays or content providers or distributors only. Okay. Those companies that, if you're in oil and gas, forget about it. But if you're in almost every other single industry, if you're not reinventing yourself or embracing yourself to the internet, or you basically disappear.
Well, but that's true of any other company out there. The NYSE is so heavily laden with all these tech stocks that have taken the limelight for the past year or two, isn't it? For the past couple of years, in fact. Look at Google, Apple, and all these people. They are just basically tech stocks. And with the upcoming IPO of Twitter as well, that has taken the headlines.
I think there is obviously a tussle between the distributors, people like Google and even Apple. Even though Apple is a hardware company, Apple has iTunes, which they use as a platform to launch the distribution of content. You know, it's a tussle between them, but that doesn't mean that the actual people who produce stuff, you know, will go out of fashion, because I think you still need to consume that. It's just that these online distributors are now taking a much higher prominence, and we've seen that in Google's pricing, which has jumped up quite significantly from a year ago.
They actually breached over $1,000.
$1,000, and a lot of
that's
analysts
right.
are now...
What's interesting is that if you are just a mainly internet distributor, you're not as exciting as, say, an internet content provider. If you look at the growth of say, Netflix, to say something like, you know, who is distributing the
movies,
the content itself.
Yeah, content.
Yeah. You can't be content provider, which is why you find that even YouTube is creating their own division of producing videos. That's why you see also now on Facebook, there are a lot of videos that are actually basically being produced by Google themselves. I can either click on it and they, you know, you don't need to wait for your cat to do something funny already.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. the cat videos are still extremely popular. And Netflix was a distributor. They've also gone into production of content.
Yeah.
You know, House of Cards, a very, very good show. But, you know...
Yeah, House of Cards by Netflix. Can you believe it? It's like, imagine our, you know, in our own version, it would be Speedy, you know, doing a new Hantu movie.
If you look at Amazon, for instance, they are still very much a distributor. They actually specialize in making their distribution network stronger for consumers.
But whatever it is, I mean, all this talk about technology companies and all that. Netflix in itself used to be just a DVD rental company, and see where it's gone now. Yeah. Okay, we're almost coming to the end of today's S&M show here, especially since Dali is over in New York.
Yeah,
your song
is? It's frozen over, okay.
And you're going to be there till?
So contrary to the Eagles, it's not hell, it's my butt.
Okay, and so, well, appropriately, the song that you've chosen for us this week is Alicia Keys, right?
Oh, naturally, mate.
Okay, so thanks so much for that. We'll catch up with you again next time around. This is the S&M show. Take care. Bye.
Take care.
And so this is the S&M show here on BFM 89.9. Don't forget, if you want to catch hold more of Dali, just pop on over to his website, malaysiafinance.blogspot.com. I'm going to leave you with this one all the way from Alicia Keys right now. Here's New York. Well, he's there. We're here.
Place of movie scenes. Noise is always loud. There are sirens all around, and the streets are mean. If I can make it here, I can make it anywhere. That's what they say.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.